कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद जय जय राधा सदा।
The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayabhataka Swami on October 31st, 1982 in Bangkok, Thailand. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 1, Verse 14.
Now your duration of life
is limited to 7 more days.
So during this time,
you can perform
all those rituals
which are needed
for the best purpose
of your next life.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami, after citing the example of Maharaja Katvanga, who prepared himself for the next life within a very short time, encouraged Maharaja Parikshit by saying that since he still had 7 days at his disposal, he could easily take advantage of the time to prepare himself for the next life. Indirectly, the Goswami told Maharaja Parikshit that he should take shelter of the sound representation of the Lord for the 7 days still remaining in the duration of his life, and thus get himself liberated. In other words, everyone can best prepare himself for the next life simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, as it was recited by Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaja Parikshit. The rituals are not formal, but there are also some favorable conditions which are required to be carried out as instructed hereafter. Thus end the purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada of the Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text 14, in the matter of the first step in God realization. Kavapyetatikorabhya saptaham jivatavati upakalapayatat saravam tavat yat samparayikam. So Maharaj Katvanga was able to achieve perfection in one moment. So in this way, Sukadeva Goswami is encouraging Maharaj Parikshit that he has 7 days at his disposal. Therefore, he can easily achieve perfection. When a person can do it in even one moment, then why not in 7 days? Of course, there's a saying, mañana, mañana, tomorrow, tomorrow, that in the Western world, everyone likes to put off until tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow. And this way, even we're born with so many years at our disposal, we're always thinking, well, after childhood, then I'll do. After youth, I'll do. After married life, I'll do. Then finally we get into old age, and even if we want to do, we don't have the strength anymore. We've seen that sometimes old people come to join our temple at Sridhar Mayapur. And at that time, they're already 60, 70 years old. Their body's shaking. They can hardly see. They don't have the strength anymore to practice Krishna consciousness very effectively. It's much more difficult for them. And then on top of that, their children, their grandchildren, they come and they're engaging them in family affairs. One life member who has over 1 million rupees at his disposal, still he's saying that, well, I'd like to retire at Mayapur, but every month I have to go and see my family for a few days, and I have to have so many facilities. At the same time, he doesn't want to contribute any money for those facilities. He's trying to bargain that we said, all right, you pay a donation of $30 a month, $1 a day, and then we can feed you. He said, no, no, that's too much, this, that. So the people, he's already old, he's already given a business to his children. Still, he's so attached. Sometimes people, even they think like this, that they're never going to die.
they're thinking that life is going to go on forever. And they make their arrangement like that. Even their oath, even their all the signs of death are there. They're not thinking that soon they have to go. So they're just hoarding money. They're not making any preparation for the next life. Sometimes people may say, why does Krishna give us old age? Old age is a special mercy of Krishna, that if we can see the writing on the wall, that we are soon coming to the end of this body, so we can start to get prepared for the next life. It's just like when you come to the dead-end road, they show you the sign, dead-end. It's a kindness of the government, or they can put a sign on the door, curve ahead, on the road, curve ahead, slippery road, so on. So this is a sign of nature on our road to life, that when we start to lose our eyesight, when our teeth start to fall out, when we start to feel the aches in our bones, and we start to have the skin get wrinkled and the hair turns white, then we know that physically our body is coming to an end. So at least at the last point of life, we should try to be Krishna conscious. But unfortunately, because there's no culture to the beginning of life, to the middle of life, at the end of life, it's not possible, it's not very easy to suddenly shift gears, to suddenly change one's whole concept of life and now simply prepare to leave. It's possible for great souls like Parikshit Maharaj because right from their birth, they were prepared in this consciousness. That's why even from the womb, even from before birth, the parents should see that their children are given every opportunity to develop spiritual consciousness and through their childhood so that when they come into the difficult times of puberty, of adolescence, of family life, they'll have that strength from their childhood of spiritual background, which can save them. So these things are very important. Nowadays, in a modern society, everyone is being trained, even in the so-called Buddhist and Hindu countries, where people know from their religious culture that we are not this body, that we are the Atma, that we take many births. Still, everyone is being trained in Indian consciousness, Burmese consciousness, Thai consciousness, Ceylonese or Sri Lanka consciousness, like that. They're being trained. Even they know that this life there may be a Thai, this life there may be an Indian, this life there may be a Chinese. What about the previous life? What about the next life? So although people are professing a certain kind of faith, but in practical life, they are completely identifying only with this body. Identifying with this body is not going to bring peace in the world. So therefore you have some nations who are very strong, who are very economically powerful. They feel, why should we do anything for the poorer nations beyond simply a little charity? As long as it doesn't hurt our interest, or as long as it benefits our interest, we can help others. In this way, there's no way that in the world you can get an overall feeling of real brotherhood, overall feeling of world peace. This national consciousness rather creates enmity between nations. One nation is always going to feel competitive to the other nation. And this competition is not only economical, but it turns political, it turns militarily, it turns in so many ways. So the world is filled with various hot and cold wars, economic wars. Various type of wars are going on. Yet people are talking about world peace. Yet they're talking about world brotherhood. But it's only possible if they actually realize the real spiritual reality, the spiritual facts of life. Instead of acting on the bodily consciousness, if they act on the consciousness of being eternal soul, being part and parcel of the Supreme Soul. And so then people, they're trying to convert from one kind of partial consciousness to another type of partial consciousness. But where
is the attempt to return people back to the original consciousness. Dhritarashtra was a great king, but his younger brother, Vidura, when he saw that he was a great king, but he's an old age, he's already blind since birth, but on top of that, he's coughing, he's wheezing, his teeth are falling out, he's hard of hearing. All the symptoms of impending death are coming. So he came and started to chastise him. But you're just like a dog, begging from the house of the people who have killed your son. Oh, your teeth are falling out, your hair is turning white, you're going to die at any moment, and the last part of your life you're living just like a beggar dog, here at the expense of your younger nephews. Why don't you go out and perform self-realization? And this way, by using harsh words, the spiritual master, in the form of Vidura, even though it was his younger brother, still he was acting as spiritual master at that moment. He induced Dhritarashtra to give up his false position and to go into the forest and perform meditation, by which he was able to wind up his material activities for this life and achieve some perfections in yoga. In this way, each person, there are different stages of development. Sometimes a person may need to be spoon-fed, so to speak, very gently given some little spiritual advice. Sometimes a person may need sledgehammer on the head, just like Vidura gave Dhritarashtra. If already a personal relationship is built up between the preacher and the person, then that gives an opportunity to use the sledgehammer, to be able, when time needed, to pull one out of the material situation when it's at the last leg. So here Maharaj Pariksit, he's coming into the last 7 days. He's not thinking about his insurance policies. He's not thinking about his payments on his car or his color television. He's not considering all the other different kind of things that people would think, oh, I have 7 days, how am I going to meet all the payments? He realizes, I have 7 days. All right, now I have to prepare for my next life. You get evicted from one apartment, you have to think, what's the next place? Where do I go? If you're living in an apartment, suddenly you get eviction notice. You think that, where am I going to go? I don't want to be sitting on the street. The people, they think that this body is like the owner or something. We don't own this body. If we own it, then we could stay forever. Everyone knows that they're only here for a certain time, but their foolish thing in the Western world is they're acting just as if they're living here forever. So it's so difficult to convince the people in the West even that there's a life after death. They don't even believe it, although they may say a few people may be Christian or this or that, but the majority of people, they don't even believe that there's a life after death. They think, when I die, that's it, finished. So they're just, and if they think that there's a life after death, then they think, well, one life, and then after that you just wait until the whole material world is annihilated, and at the time of reckoning, the angel Gabriel will blow a bugle, and because you believe in Jesus, you're going to be delivered. So you don't have to worry about the next life. You just eat, drink, marry, and drink the blood of Jesus, and that's all taken care of. In this way, they have it all sewed up so that you don't have to actually think about your next life. This is the foolishness. And the big materialists, they're making so many exhibitions nowadays just to convince people that this life is all that counts. You see. And after, even though you're finished at the end of this life, your children and grandchildren, they'll be coming into a better world because of your work. Completely unsatisfying. You're going to die finished, but your children, they're going to come into a better world. Everything is based upon body consciousness. So here, that's why this Bhagavatam is so important, that how a pure devotee acts when he knows I have 7 days. Immediately he's thinking, what's my next life? How to prepare for my next life? How to prepare myself for the next existence. completely the opposite of the modern day world. So one thing here in Thailand that we have a great advantage is people already believe in reincarnation. They already believe in karma. They know these things. You see. So immediately you tell them, you're very proud of being a Thai. Why do you think you're a Thai? You were a Thai your previous life? What about your next life? If they believe even in Buddhism, they can realize all the propaganda that's being given is all simply against the principles of even Buddha philosophy. Try to elevate the people above the bodily consciousness. And then, by chanting Hare Krishna, by association with devotees, by taking Krishna prasad, reestablish the relationship with Krishna, then it's very easy. You see, very easy for people to practice Krishna consciousness by taking them in a step-by-step way. Of course, it's not ordinarily easy, but by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, even miracles are done. You see, miracles are performed just by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jagai Madai, they were completely envious people. Still, they were delivered. Papi tapi jato chilo hari nam uddharilo tar saki Jagai Madai. So when Jagai Madai are delivered, then why not so many others who are not envious of Krishna? Most of the people, they are innocent. They're simply being misled. But they're not satisfied, so they're looking, they're looking. When they see the devotees chanting in their ecstasy, you see, then immediately they become attracted, that their people are happy, their soul is awakened by that vibration. We shouldn't lose, we should have rather our full faith in the power of this chanting of Hare Krishna, that simply by hearing the Bhagavatam, simply by hearing the chanting, simply by taking prasadam, chanting, dancing, people will completely be awakened to their original consciousness. We should have this faith and in the process of Krishna consciousness and simply engage people in chanting, in hearing, in dancing, and feasting on prasadam, and reading Srila Prabhupada's books. This process has nothing to do with the time and place that we are in. That time and place will mean that we have to present it in a particular way just to suit the mentality of that time and place. But the process goes beyond any material circumstances. Anyone who can come in association with this chanting, with the Krishna conscious, with devotional service, they will be purified. There's nothing more powerful than the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is a great opportunity. Maharaj Pariksit, he was already very advanced person. He wanted to immediately prepare himself for the next life. Similarly, some people we meet will be very advanced, some people will be very materialistic. But if we simply pray to Lord Chaitanya that he inspire us, Lord Nityananda Advaita, that they inspire us with that compassion. How Lord Advaita, how he was crying. He was crying for the living entities that they had become bahirmukh, they had become materialistic. They had forgotten Krishna even in Navadvip, even in Bengal, even in India they had forgotten. And they're simply living for the temporary happiness of the body. They were staying up till 8 o'clock at night. They were sleeping even up to sunrise. They were doing so many materialistic things then. They were no longer worshipping Krishna in devotion, but instead they were worshipping him for material purposes and doing ritualistic activities simply for elevation to the heavenly planets. They were so materialistic then that Advaita Gosai was crying that Lord Krishna come down himself to inspire them with pure love. Of course, what materialism they had then compared to what materialism is here now. You can imagine how Advaita Gosai is crying for these souls who are completely miserable. Here in Thailand, it's very common for people to have more than one wife under the table situation. One man came here, he was having two wives. So, although the wives get along with each other, but because he has now two houses, big economic problem, big headache, He's trying to increase his material happiness. Instead, his headache is going increase. So then he's asking that, what should I do? Some chant Hare Krishna?
You see.
So that person, last night he came to the program. Just a common person. He was a big businessman who lost everything. Due to bad luck, he became a taxi driver. So he came last night after 3 days. He was here at the program. And he was chanting also Hare Krishna with the devotees. Simply because we were willing to listen to what was his problem and to explain the thing to the extent that the person could understand. And he chanted. Obviously, he must have felt something, otherwise why he came again after 2 days. It's not that he was the ordinary taxi driver. He was before a rich man, but he just invested his money in speculation and lost everything. Which is common in speculation. So anyway, that's why we're told not to gamble. You see. So this material world, people are suffering. And they all think that, well, they're going to just live forever. But this Krishna conscious movement was given by Lord Chaitanya so that people could end their suffering and actually come back to the spiritual world to develop their original relationship with Krishna. It's such an opportunity for them that it's just inconceivable how Lord Chaitanya is giving this mercy. And we cannot imagine if you just study what was Satya Yuga, what was Dwarpa Treta Yuga, what were the different yugas, how one had to struggle to, even at that time, had to do for thousands of years, hundreds of years, had to do self-realization in order to achieve liberation, and how Lord Chaitanya is giving out love for Krishna, which even Krishna himself didn't give so easily. How he's simply giving it out freely. Such a mercy we cannot imagine. Everyone is already liberated. They're already liberated by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. It's simply now how many people we can get to chant Hare Krishna so they get beyond liberation and actually get love for Krishna. It's like here so many, even they're seeing Ram Ken, which is, may have so many offenses. So they won't be able just by seeing that to develop love for Krishna. But even as a Nama Bas, they're saying Rama, they're able to get so much spiritual benefit that alone is enough to bring them up to liberation. According to Haridas Thakur and Chaitanya Charitamrita, even a Nama Bas gives one liberation in due course. But we're not interested in that. We want actually the people should develop love for Krishna. And that's possible simply if we engage them in chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasari Gaurav Bhaktavinoda. All our philosophy is meant just to get the people to chant. And when they can't chant 24 hours a day, then fill up the rest of their time in service. When Lord Chaitanya sent Rama Pandit, Sri Ram Pandit, I believe that's his name, to get Advaita, to tell Advaita that Lord for who you cried for, that Lord who you were chanting loudly for, shouting out, who you are fasting for, and who you are worshipping the Shaligram Shila with Ganges, water, and Tulsi for, he has come to Nadia. And Sri Ram Pandit, the younger brother of Shiva, he went there and he told Advaita this. Advaita was jumping up and down. Harivo, Harivo, the Lord has come. The Lord has come. Then he said, how do I know Lord Chaitanya has come? How do I know that Krishna has come? That this is in fact the Lord of my life? The Paramatma, the Super Soul. What proof? No, I won't go. You tell him I'm not coming to see him. I'm going to go and hide and test him. If he calls me, if he shows me his original spiritual form, if he puts his lotus feet on my head, then I'll know in fact he's the Lord who has come from the spiritual world. He's the original personality of Godhead. Otherwise, how can I believe that he's in a super soul? And he's calm on my call. I'm not going to tell him. In the meanwhile, his wife, Sita Devi, had already prepared the puja tray, just in case. Then they ran off, and they were hiding nearby where Lord Chaitanya was in his mood as the personality of Godhead. For the first time, he was manifesting his Ishwar Bhav amongst his intimate devotees. So then he called out, Narayana, Advaita, Advaita, why are you hiding?
As soon as Sri Ram Pandit came, he called out, "Why Dvaita is hiding? Come on, come on." So that Dvaita became scared. He came out. He saw Lord Chaitanya and he bowed down at a distance. When he looked up, he couldn't see Lord Chaitanya as he saw before. There, he saw four more effulgent than millions of suns. He saw the whole world. It said Brahma Jyoti was coming from Lord Chaitanya and he was showing his complete spiritual form. Only Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda, Srivas were there beside Lord Chaitanya. Only the associates and Lord Chaitanya were visible. The whole world had become blocked out by the glare of the Brahma Jyoti. He was seeing simply on the spiritual platform. His vision was simply on the transcendental platform, where he could see that transcendentally situated were Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda and others. How the demigods, then they came and they were offering respect to Lord Chaitanya. He showed his universal form. Then he told Advaita. Advaita came and he touched Advaita with his lotus feet on his head and said, "Advaita, by your calling, by your loud shouting, you disturbed me. When I was in the spiritual world, you had me come down. So now I've come because of your worship and your desire. Now what do you want? You tell me what you want." So Advaita jumped up shouting, "Haribo, Haribo, Haribo, Haribo. The Lord has come. I have brought the Lord down. He's come on my call. Haribo, Haribo." He's jumping and dancing. How Lord Krishna had come down by his request, he was feeling little transcendental pride. He was jumping and shouting, "Haribo, Haribo," how the Lord was so kind to have come. Then falling down again, paying obeisances, then jumping and dancing. The Lord Chaitanya said, "No, you must take from me one boon, one wish. What do you want?" "No, no, you've come, that's enough. That's fulfilled everything." "No, you must take from me one. You want what, liberation? You want anything? You just tell me what you want." "No, no, no, no. You've already come, that's enough." "No, no, you must take one wish." "All right." After much insistence, finally Advaita agreed. "All right. If I must take one boon from you, then this is my desire. You please grant those souls who ordinarily do not have the opportunity to become God conscious, to develop pure love for you. Those who are ordinarily unfortunate, who are ordinarily not having that opportunity. May they be the recipients of your special mercy. May they be able to achieve your mercy and get this highest benediction of life. This is my special request." So Lord Chaitanya replied, "Tatastaha, so be it." Then Lord Advaita said, "No, no, but this is not all. That's only the first half. The other half is also there." He said that those persons who are very proud of being very spiritual, being great devotees, being great brahmanas or kings, and they think that because of their material position, because of their so-called position, they deserve to get your mercy. Who out of pride, they neglect the devotees of the Lord. You see, out of their pride, they offend the devotees of the Lord. And, you see, think that they deserve your mercy. Let them not get your mercy. Let your mercy not be given to those arrogant people. The Lord Chaitanya also agrees. So we see how Rupa and Sanatana, even though they were big, big prime minister, they went to Lord Chaitanya with a straw in their teeth, begging that, "Please have your mercy. We are most unqualified. We don't know anything. So they got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Maharaj Pratap Rudra, as the king, wanted to see Lord Chaitanya. He said, no, I won't see him. I won't see him. I don't see any king. When he came and he swept the road in front of Jagannath in a humble way, then Lord Chaitanya, he became compassionate to him. When he came as a Vaishnava to see Lord Chaitanya, then he received. Not that you can come, oh Lord Chaitanya, I'm a king, so have your mercy on me. No, you have to come just on your hands and knees. Then you can get what ordinarily, even big demigods like Brahma and Shiva, they cannot get very easily. So this is a special mercy that even those who seem like hopeless cases, unfortunate, they can simply by the mercy also of a devotee, by some special prayer of a devotee. Devotees should, preachers should be praying to Prabhupada, to Krishna, to Lord Chaitanya Nityananda, to bless the people they're preaching to if they want to see them delivered. To pray for those souls to understand the help. Devotee has the power of blessing. So we don't bless that you have a big business or this or that for material reasons. We bless especially that people become Krishna conscious. That's especially the blessing that is given. The devotees, when they're preaching, they should be thinking how the soul can be awakened from its material consciousness and even try to attract special mercy on the different people. This is how. You think Prabhupada didn't pray that people would be delivered? He made good fortune for people, even they had no good fortune. Similarly, devotees, they make the good fortune, even people have no fortune. Narada Muni made good fortune for Megrahi the hunter. He was hopeless. He made good fortune for Dasu Ratnakar the thief, so he could become Valmiki and speak the Ramayana. So like that, devotees, they have to try to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya to act as instrument to make good fortune. The people become fortunate, especially by the intervention of the devotee of the Lord. This way, if a person is so engrossed in trying to help other people to come up to Krishna consciousness, you have no time to concentrate on material miseries or on material desires. As soon as you start to think about liberation, as soon as you start to think about material desire, immediately you become an anxiety. Krishna bhakta niskam atoiv shanto. The Krishna devotees only think how to please Krishna. And what wonderful desire Krishna has expressed now. All he wants is let the people serve me. Lord Chaitanya said, let the people chant and dance in ecstasy. So if a person simply absorbs himself in that service to Lord Chaitanya, giving out the mercy, there's no time for any material anxiety or misery. Simply the anxiety how to bring people to Krishna consciousness. That anxiety produces love for Krishna even in the preacher. So by while preaching, one is developing love for Krishna. Bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakali oshanta. Those who want material elevation, liberation from birth and death, who want mystic power, they're all disturbed people. They're all unpeaceful. They're all agitated. They're all in anxiety. When will I get liberation? When will I? But the devotee's anxiety, when will these people become Krishna conscious? How can I help them to be Krishna conscious? That desire, because it's Krishna's desire, is actually no desire at all. It's a complete harmony with Krishna. It brings one into closer and closer contact with Krishna. It makes one a confidential devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Which means that one already is above the laws of karma, is already above the material world. Mamcha jo babichayina bhakti jo gaina sevate sagunan samatittaitang brahma bhuvaya kalpate brahma bhuta prasanatma nasochati nakangsati sangasharveshu bhuteshu madbhaktiṃ labhate param. Immediately one is lifted to the Brahman platform. He's not seeing this person is white or yellow or green or blue or Chinese or Thai or American or Indian. He's seeing this is spirit soul covered by different illusions. This is the part and parcel of Krishna. Until we join in devotional service with Krishna and love of Krishna, that soul will never be satisfied. Never be satisfied. So the devotee becomes on the Brahman platform, immediately on the spiritual platform, simply by seeing everyone as a part of Krishna and trying to engage them in Krishna's service according to their ability, propensity, nature, possibilities. This is a special mercy of Lord Chaitanya that Prabhupada personally showed us to do what I do. He showed exactly in the West. He showed in different parts. He simply tried to engage the people. Engage them in one way in Russia, engage them in another way in other countries. Similarly, we simply have to engage people in chanting and dancing, reading his books, feasting on prasad. And they'll get the mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siddhaita Gadar Haro Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hari Bol. Any questions? You make sure prasad's ready. As soon as I get out, I want to take prasad within 30 seconds.
He's saying that everyone is already liberated.
Yeah? When he's desired, when Prabhupada is desired that every town and village, this chanting will be heard. I mean, just like Hare Krishna is already a household word in America. Everyone's heard of Hare Krishna. Just by saying Hare Krishna, hearing Hare Krishna, they'll get liberation. We're not interested in liberation. We want to, before they get to their liberation and get lost in the light, we want them to actually get love for Krishna. So our comfort, liberation is no problem, practically speaking. Of course, that may be some time period, but immediately, liberation is guaranteed. How many births? It's just like they're already put down the chute. Just like a countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So they're already on the countdown. It's like half-life. Half-life uranium, every year it goes half, finally it's finished. So they're already on the countdown. They're already chanted Hare Krishna. So now it's just a question of either this birth or a few births or whatever. They've already chanted. As long as they don't commit any offense to any devotee, then they're guaranteed liberation.
You mentioned
that
they're making exhibitions in the West
for
these people that
they want. Oh, yeah. Walt Disney made this huge exhibition, Epcot. $1 billion. $1 billion exhibition. I personally went to see that. Simply showing how material science is God. How you've progressed from the protoplasmic crust, and you've come up through the evolutionary process from the caveman, and how you're going to become a spaceman tomorrow. Disneyland is for the kiddies. This is separate. This is next to Disney World. Five kilometers away. A whole special 600-acre exhibition. $1 billion. Each exhibition put on by Bell Telephone, put on by Exxon, put on, Kraft, all the big multinational, American companies which are there. They give someone the money, they get their name there. The whole thing is conceived by Walt Disney. Exhibit on the world of energy, that we need the cooperation. It's just like now, together, one team, science, the public, industry. One team, industry hires the scientists, the public spends all their money, and they make all the profit. Big teamwork. And the people were applauding at the end, They're standing up, 1,000 people at the end, applauding. Complete fool. And then in the back, some people were vomiting, because they had this big card, and they took you, into the dinosaur world, where they had dinosaurs fighting. It didn't make any sense of anything, except that many millions of years ago, dinosaur bodies fell down and created oil. That's what they say, you know. So then they go and they show, take you through this thing, dinosaurs with cavemen. It was the Walt Disney. They put on this, you know, like these exhibits, dinosaurs, cavemen. And then you come back, then they show you like now the modern world, what we have, how we've progressed from the dinosaur age. You know, people feel like, wow, we really came up. I was a dinosaur, you know, whatever. There was like, now we really come up. And then they give you the last spiel at the end of everything. And see how we have progressed in the past, you know, so many years. And now, imagine what tomorrow. And then they break off into a riff of rock and roll. Tomorrow, tomorrow. And then, you know, whole, you know, rock and roll, you know, tomorrow, tomorrow, the day of the future, the day of the night, happiness, bliss, tomorrow. And then they show, you know, light show, you know, laser lights, you know, this is how, you know, the whole thing, light. And they show a picture of a girl, an embryo. And from the embryo is birth. And in birth, then you see, you know, it's like a baby. Then the youth, child, girl, goes up to 12 years old, like 16 years old, full-grown woman. Then you're like a changing body. Then what's next? No old age, death? No. No old age yet. No death. Then suddenly they turn into a space woman. So then there's a space man, and they got their spacesuits all in light with lasers and light and effulgence coming from them. You know, spaceman, tomorrow, the future holds tomorrow. And then, you know, then they start spinning around in circles with more light, and everything merges into a big flash. And that's the end. You know, world of enemy. And then all the people stood up and applauded. It's just, you know. And when we saw every show in the end has rock and roll music and tomorrow, tomorrow. At about the fourth exhibit, when we saw this, he says, oh no, here comes the lights and the tomorrow song again. We started cracking up. We were rolling in the aisles laughing. I was the first four exhibits, I was just so angry. Everyone, just how these people are just being cheated by these materials. Finally, it became so ludicrous that we couldn't help but laugh. That how the people were so foolish and how they're presenting it. You know, they skip over the last 10 years real fast because, you know, then you think of all the crime and all the drugs and all the immorality and all the political unrest and all the massacres and all the different things. You know, that you get over because it's too fresh in you. And you go, like, up to, like, 1950s, 60s, and then you zip over into Tomorrow World, which is just lights and rock and roll music. And people, you know, they... And there's no kids. This is not Disney. Everyone there is a college student up. Only maybe 5%. They bring a kid along just, you know, because they don't know what, have a babysitter or something. It's all older people, all college students, middle-aged people, and they're eating it up.
That means they had a conscious effort to get together some of these people to get them in line.
Oh, yeah. We have to make sure that they're right on target. They're completely gung-ho behind Western technology, modern science. This is, you know, consumer. This is the whole thing. Well, they go there just for the recreation, you know, have fun, you know. But then that whole thing is how with the propaganda. They don't even realize it's propaganda. They just think it's like an exhibition or some educational thing. You know, because this is what they know. This is their everyday world. They think, you know, so just like an explanation for them. It just reinforces what, you know, they're getting every day through their television, it reinforces, you know, the regular propaganda. It's just like the super done with Walt Disney techniques with computer moving statues and robots and light shows and mass multimedia and 3D movies and all kinds of techniques they have. It's amazing. You just give us, you know, one exhibit like that where we can present reincarnation, we can present Krishna conscious philosophy. The person sees that would be changed around for life. This, that wears off because you go out and you get all stand up and applaud this set, but then they're still growing old, they're still dying. Tomorrow, who cares tomorrow? Tomorrow I'm going to be dead. My there's this same sentiment that, all right, in 100 years from now, they keep, we're going to overcome old age, we're going to overcome death, we're going to, they just, freeze. They still have Walt Disney in the freezer. Just the propaganda, you see. So it doesn't satisfy anybody. It may be, for that day, even the people walk out of there, they're completely tired out, walking miles and miles the whole day. You got to pay $15 to see the thing. Then they spend at least $10-$20, while they're there, plus getting there. And just on, refreshments, at least $15 they must spend. So they're making millions of dollars every day. Their daily income is, sometimes 200,000 people, not even that many, how many people are there? Maybe 200,000 people went there the first few days, but I don't think that's the daily average. I don't know what the average. But you figure that they're making some incredible amount. Like, they'll make the investment back in the first year, practically. All the 60,000 people work there. Between Walt Disney and there, they have 60,000 people employed. So, it's like 200,000 people come in. Disney World's own city. Disney World, its own whole place. 60 or 30,000 maybe, 30,000 employees. They've incorporated separately. It's near Orlando. So just like we want to make, they had a different idea. Walt Disney wanted to make a prototype. Epcot means the experimental prototype community of the future. He wanted to make a living community where people would live and show how a perfect society, perfect like socialistic or some kind of system like that. But then instead of doing that, they commercialized it and just went in with the industry. So actually, our prototype, what we're doing in Mayapur, we're making the real prototype of the future. We're making a model village, a model town that can exist forever. And then we're going to have so many big exhibits like this. That's our plan. And then bring people from all over the world.
Another question came to mind that there's so many times people with significant energy are doing different kinds of processes. And I wonder about this picture. Are we always paying pictures, some pictures of Punta Padma? And Srinivas Tagore is always depicted as a young brother.
He's older than Lord Chaitanya, actually.
Yes. I wonder.
They just put everybody's dhoti as a different color. Right? Why don't you write a letter to Srila Ramakrishna?
I wrote a letter to Buddha. But I think in the position I can reduce those, I don't know whether it's temporary, but they know each other.
They used to wear colored dhotis, isn't it? It's
difficult to
find. They used to wear colored dhotis. Even in South India, people wear, the Brahmanas wear blue dhotis, purple dhotis, purple silk, blue silk, yellow silk. It's very nice. Usually he has a yellow dhoti on. It's now, I don't know why they put a saffron, some other color, pink like that, red. Mr. Birla said he wanted to do a Disney World type thing for $500 million, 500 crores of rupees near Calcutta. The point is that they
with the ISKCON philosophical background and ability to put on this type of exhibition, and with some, bring in some technology from the West. Otherwise, if he just does some amusement park, it has no message. What's the use? K.K. Birla. Put in the newspaper, he wanted to build such a park. You should do it at my uncle. Everyone will go there. We're going to do it anyway, but I mean, if he could get help like that. $500 million in India is equal to $1 billion or $2 billion in America, for sure. But if he wants to do it just to present technology, it will ruin the Indian people.